स्वाध्यायामोदबलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीमधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। In the last day, we saw Narada giving various definitions of bhakti and then finally ending it with or by telling that Naradastu tadarpita akila acharata tadvismarane parama vyakulatedi. Remembering Ishvara and offering all action to Ishvara at all times. And when Ishvara is forgotten, becoming very sad, becoming restless. So this would mean that, like, can this be correlated? Is it like that? Like, how can you say it's your personal opinion? So do you have any backing? So that is what Narada says in the next two sutras. So in the very next sutra, Narada says, Asti evam evam. Asti is evam evam. Definitely whatever I have said is true. So that is what the statement that I have made, the claim that I have made by defining bhakti as per my own view, that is definitely valid, that is definitely true. How can you say that? Yatha vraja gopikana. So yatha, like it is seen in Vraja Gopikanam, Vraja Gopis. In Vraja Gopis, we can find this true bhakti. So this is where we have to always remember that true bhakti is not about renouncing one's actions. True bhakti is not about taking external sannyasam. True bhakti is not just about doing activities, spiritual activities. Activities related to bhakti, that is not true bhakti. True bhakti is when a bhakta is always remembering Ishvara. Ananya bhajanam. Ananya chetaha satatam yomam smarati nityashah. Tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yoginah. So, Krishna says in the 9th chapter of Gita that ananya chetaha. Ananya chetaha, ananya chetas, ananya bhajanam, ananya chinta in the mind. Person who has ananya bhajanam of Ishvara, satatam, constantly at all times he has ananya bhajanam. Yo mam smarati nityashah, satatam, satatam means at all times, nityashah, regularly, at all times he is trying to remember me. Tasya aham sulabha partha. Tasya, for such a person, aham sulabha, I am very easy to achieve or attain for such a person, nitya yuktasya yoginaha, because he is a person who is constantly focused on me. So, bhakti, true bhakti is when a person remembers Ishvara irrespective of wherever he is, irrespective of whatever he is doing, it doesn't matter. External actions don't really matter. What really matters is the mind concentrating or contemplating on Ishvara. So that is what is more important. So Ramakrishna Paramahamsa gives a beautiful example about the servant or the maid. So the maid, like, who is working in a very rich family. So she is working in a rich family or at a rich family. So there she takes care of everything in the house. The clothes, the kitchen, the floor, everything she takes care of it. And she also takes care of the rich person's son. So she calls him, oh my dear, oh Rama, oh my dear son. So she calls all those. So she is constantly doing actions. But all the while her thought is always on her own son who is at home. So even while doing those activities, such a person or the maid is constantly thinking about her own son. So similarly, a bhakta tries to constantly remember Ishvara. The bhakta, so this is what Eka Bhaktir Vishishyate. So Tesham Jnani Nitya Yukta Eka Bhaktir Vishishyate. This is what Krishna says in the seventh chapter of Gita, while speaking about different bhaktas. Krishna calls the true bhakta as a jnani, and he says Tesham Jnani Nitya Yukta. Nitya Yukta is ever focused on me. Eka Bhaktir Vishishyate, Eka Bhakti, his devotion is one pointed, he is always on me. My thought never evades the mind of such a bhakta, such a jnani. So that is true bhakti, and that can be found in Vraja Gopikanam, the Vraja Gopis. So if we look at Vraja Gopis, they were married, they were taking care of their husband. So married gopis were taking care of their husband, unmarried gopis were taking care of their father or parents, and gopis who had children, they were taking care of their children. But all the while, even while they were doing their normal activities, normal course, still they were always focused on Ishvara. And their knowledge or their bhakti is not devoid of Vedantic knowledge. Nakhalu gopika nandano bhavan akila dehinam antaradmadrik vikhana sartito vishwaguptaye sakai udeyivan satvatam kule. O Krishna, the famous Gopi Geetam, in the famous Gopi Geetam, the gopis say, O Krishna, nakhalu gopika nandano bhavan. You are not the Nandan, Nanda's son, the gopis, beloved Nanda's son. But who are you? Akila dehinam antaratma drik. You are the indwelling self of all beings. Akila dehinam, all beings in the entire world, whatever entities, whatever beings are there in the entire world, both charam and acharam, moving and immoving, sentient and insentient, whatever is there in the entire world, you are the indwelling self. So that they of gopis had knowledge as well. So here this is where we find that Narada, as per Narada, bhakti is not against jnanam. Bhakti is, we cannot say that bhakti is superior to jnanam, jnanam is superior to bhakti. We cannot say, we cannot compare like this. We both are one and the same thing. In both, remembrance of Ishvara, constant contemplation of Ishvara is there, is what is important in both. That is what determines whether a person is a true bhakta or a true jnani. And this is also, like, we also have to remember that though the gopis did their normal activities, but still they had Krishna or Ishvara Chinta as the highest priority. So Amma gives a story about one of the gopis. So once news came that Krishna was there in Yamuna, so Yamuna Tiram. So all the gopis started running towards Krishna. I will be close to Krishna, I will be close to Krishna. So they started running. So one gopi who was taking care of her husband, like, she started running. At that time her husband stood in front of her, blocking the door. And he was strong, he was powerful. So he didn't let the gopi go out. The gopi started shaking. The gopi was very restless. Gopi was crying. Tears were coming out of the gopi's eyes. And when the tears were coming out of the gopi's eyes, still the husband didn't move. He didn't let her go. The gopi finally gave up her life there itself, remembering Krishna. So just because Vedanta says that worldly activities are fine, worldly activities are okay with respect to Vedanta, it doesn't mean that worldly activities are to be given higher priority. Vedanta just says that whatever actions a person does, irrespective of whatever actions a person does, he has to remember Ishvara. Whatever stands in the way of remembering Ishvara, that has to be set aside, even if it is one's own guru. So in the current day, like, we can find a lot of people claiming themselves to be gurus. So self-proclaimed gurus are more in this world in current day. Like, a person just goes and learns a few scriptures in some mission or some discourses, and then he starts preaching. So he starts preaching, he starts creating organizations, ashrams. So all those are more in current day. We have to remember that if a guru is telling us to get rid of Advitiya Satyam, get rid of the Ishvara, all pervasive Ishvara, Sarvavyapi Ishvara, who alone is present at the Nama Rupam, which we call as Jagat, if the guru says that, we can set aside the guru. We not we can, but we should set aside the guru if we want Amritam. So we find in Bhagavatam, Mahabali setting aside Shukracharya, when Vamana comes and asks for three feet of land, Mahabali says that he will give. At that time, Shukracharya says to Mahabali, even though you have kept your promise, don't give him. If you give him, then he is Vishnu in the form of Vamana. He will completely destroy you. So this is where we find the guru going against the sadhaka, the guru obstructing the seeker's path, seeker's progress for his own selfish purposes. Many gurus want people around them, want chelas around them, praising them. If the shishyas become realized, then the guru doesn't have any shishya, so he will not have anybody around him. Therefore, the guru doesn't want. So, selfish people will not want others to progress, achieve something in life. A real master will never obstruct the shishyas' progress. The real master will make a guru out of the shishya. So Mahabali replies to Shukracharya that, I don't want, like, if it is Vishnu, then I am really blessed that Vishnu has come to me to ask something. And if Vishnu wants to take something, he'll definitely take whether I give or not. Therefore, I am not going to go against my word. So the word here is, it denotes the word or promise. The promise here denotes remembrance of Ishvara. The promise that we take by learning Narada Bhakti Sutra, the promise of constantly remembering Ishvara, whatever happens. Whether we are in Swarga or Naraka, whether we are in Bhuloka or Bhuvaloka or Patalam, whether we are in the United States or India, whether we are amidst people who hate spirituality, whether we are in the midst of followers of spirituality, whether we are in the midst of people who praise us or abuse us, it doesn't matter. At all times, Ishvara Chinta has to be there. That is essential. Without Ishvara Chinta, there cannot be any bhakti. So bhakti means Ishvara Chinta at all times. So Tadarpita Akila Acharata, offering all actions onto Ishvara, means just remembering Ishvara. If we can just mechanically remember that everything is Ishvara, there is nothing here but Ishvara alone exists, that itself is enough. That itself will take us to the goal of Anandam or Amritam. Slowly, day by day, it will take us. So mechanically remembering Ishvara and never forgetting Ishvara, that is bhakti, that is real bhakti. A real bhakta is one who is trying to remember Ishvara. So being seekers of moksha, seekers of anandam, we should always remember to not let go of the thought of Ishvara. We should always remember Ishvara whatever happens. Let the sky fall down, let tsunami hit, let earthquakes come, let the things around us crumble. It doesn't matter. At all times we have to have Ishvara Chinta. And a person who has Ishvara Chinta will definitely be protected by Ishvara. Ishvara is bound to protect such a bhakta. Ananyas chintayantu maam ye jana paryupasate tesha nithyabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. Ananyas chintayantu maam. So, O Arjuna, yo maam ananyas chintayantah ananya bhajanam, those who are always remembering me. Ye jana paryupasate, those people who are Pariyupasate. Pariyupasate means surrounding, everywhere they are doing my upasana. How upasana? Ananya bhajanam, by always remembering me, by always offering all actions onto me. Ishvara, everything is Ishvara's will, everything is Ishvara's grace. Such a thought, whoever has tesham, for such people, nithyabhiyuktanam, for such people who are ever focused on me, yoga kshemam vahamyaham, their yogam and kshemam, all their needs I will take care. And this is also the final advice of Krishna to Arjuna, as sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tva sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchah. O Arjuna, sarva dharman parityajya, renounce everything in the world, renounce everything and seek me alone. Maam ekam. So seek me alone. Sarva dharman parityajya maam ekam sharanam vraja. Seek shelter onto me alone. That means Ishvara chinta. Aham tva sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami. I will protect you from all sins, ma shuchaha, do not worry at all. So this is Krishna's final advice to Arjuna, and that's exactly what Narada is also telling here. Even as the gopis, they were not near to Krishna, they didn't have physical proximity with Krishna, but their mind was always dwelling on Krishna, and that is also what we call as Jivan Mukti, or the state of moksha. Yogarato va, bhogarato va, sangarato va, sangavihinah. Yasya brahmani ramate chittam nandati nandati nandatyeva. So whether a person is doing yogam or bhogam, whether a person is attached sangam or asangam, yasya brahmani ramate chittam, yasya chittam brahmani ramate, one whose mind is always focused on Brahman, nandati nandati nandatyeva, such a person is ever happy, ever blissful. So that is what we find in the gopis. The gopis were focused on Krishna irrespective of whether externally they were in Krishna's presence, or irrespective of whatever activities they were doing, wherever they were, the gopis were constantly contemplating on Ishvara. That is real bhakti. When a person is always thinking about Ishvara, Ishvara Chinta, Sarvavyapi Ishvara, that Chinta is there, that itself becomes bhakti, and that itself gives a person anandam. So day by day, the more and more a person is remembering Ishvara, anandam will increase. So it's as simple as this. Like if everything is Ishvara, so if we are thinking or remembering that everything is Ishvara, then there cannot be any likes and dislikes. So if there is no likes and dislikes, there is no ragad dvesham. If there is no ragad dvesham, then how can a person really get happy or sad? So a person will be ever blissful. Imagine the state, like when everything is just one entity. If everything is one entity, then there cannot be any difference. If there is no difference, there cannot be any ragadvesham. If ragadvesham is not there, then there cannot be any sukha dukkham as well. So that would be the state of a bhakta who is trying to remember Ishvara. We don't have to achieve the goal of bhakti, ever abiding in Ishvara, in order to experience this anandam. Anytime we remember Ishvara, anytime Ishvara Smarana is there, if we remember Ishvara as Advitiya Satyam, anytime we remember such an Ishvara, that very moment we will get bliss. So that is what is also seen in gopis' life. Gopis are perfect example of a true bhakta. Of course, a true bhakta is a true jnani, both are the same. Ishvara Chinta is essential for both. Ishvara Chinta, Sarvavyapi Ishvara Chinta, Advitiya Satyam, that Ishvara Chinta we have to constantly have in our mind in order to become true bhaktas, in order to get Amritam. We'll continue the next day, I'm sure.